Tina's telling me to take my cap off. I'll take it off in a minute. Well, I need to take it off. I'm fixing to pray. But as we go to the Lord in prayer, I want y'all to think about it. Y'all can all sit down. I'm old. I sat down during the service a couple weeks ago. I'd been on my feet for 5 days for 12 hours, and my feet were hurting, so I sat down. I'm getting old now. I can do that. But as we go to the Lord in prayer, I want y'all to remember our pastor and his wife, and just spend time as we pray, just thanking God for them, and praying God will bless them, and the endeavor that they've taken on to start our church and all that. Jasmine asked me a while ago, said, "Are you going to fill Kenny's shoes?" I said, "Nobody can fill Kenny's shoes." I said, "I'm just going to fill in for him." And somebody said, "Are you going to rock?" I said, "No, I'm an old man. I'm on a roll. Kenny rocks." So I've accepted my old man role, but I still got a lot of energy, and I'd like to use it here. And I just thank God for Life Community, and I thank God that I got a flyer one day, and I was ready to try a new church. But I thank God most of all, and y'all have heard me before, of what this church means to my daughter, Cora, that was up here singing today. I just thank God for that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless Kenny and Taryn, and ask Him to bless everybody in our church. A lot of you may have come in here today with some burdens on your heart. We shared earlier today, I know some of our members have some burdens and have some loved ones that are ill. So let's remember that too. Whatever burden you carried in, I want to encourage you to give it to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship with you. We just thank you for this church, and we thank you for Kenny and Taryn and their family as they lead us. And we just pray that you'd bless them and give them energy and just help them to spend time with you, Lord, just speaking to you and talking to you and praying to you. And we just pray that you encourage them and thank you for them. And we thank you for all the people that you brought to Life Community, all the people that make up this church. We just pray that you'd be with each one today. And whatever burden they came in with, we just pray that you'd lift that from them. We pray that they'd go to you with it. We pray that you'd speak to us today. And we just pray that your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I'll take this hat off real quick, but you can see our sermon today is on prayer. I think it's one of the most neglected things that Christians do is spend time with their Savior in prayer. But I have this hat on because I'm praying today, believe it or not, that Chicago wins the Super Bowl. And one of these days they're going to be there if they'd ever get rid of that quarterback. But I just have a prayer of faith today, but I'm asking God the impossible, and I don't think it's going to happen. And the next thing I'd like to ask is if both of them lose today, but that's not going to happen either. So as we go through our sermon today, I want you to take your notes out, and I hope you brought your Bible, because I'm going to be going through the Bible. Real quickly, I'm going to have Eric play that little video. How many of you hate that sound in the morning when the alarm goes off? I tell you, I just recently experienced a real hatred. I want you to get your notes, and we'll be looking at that in a few minutes. But a real hatred for that sound. Thursday, I went with the youth to the concert, and I took a vacation day to go to the concert, and it was wonderful. I mean, it was wonderful. They had 10 groups for $10, Christian groups. And it was a great concert, but I had to go to work the next day, so I got in bed about 1:15, and the alarm was set for 3 o'clock. I did set it for 10 after 3, so I'd get a little bit more sleep. And I did not want to get up. I wanted to, I made it through the day fine, but I did, when that alarm went off, oh my gosh, I felt like I just closed my eyes, and I didn't want to get up, so I hated to hear it that morning, but I'm not a snoozer. I'm one that sets it as late as I can sleep, and I get up. My wife, she'll snooze and snooze and snooze, and I can't stand the snooze because I get a good sleep, and then all of a sudden it goes off again, and I wake up. But this message here today, if you don't have your notes, if you have your Bible, it's found in Mark, and it's about prayer. It's about Jesus' prayer. And as you look in your sermon notes, the first question that your sermon notes ask is, who are you praying for? If you have a pencil with you, I just want you to take a little time here to write down the people you are faithful to pray for. And I want to ask you, is prayer a priority in your life? Because prayer with the Christian is spending time with God, is talking to God. And we're going to look at who Jesus was praying for today. And it's amazing to me as I look into it. This is from Mark's version. Mark wasn't there. Matthew was there, but he wasn't one of the inner circle, so he was there at a farther distance than James and John and Peter. They actually got to walk a little bit closer to Jesus. It says about a stone's throw, and I guess that depends how far you can throw a stone. Some people can throw it farther than other. But I think Luke tells us it's a stone's throw away is where they were. But Jesus, as we get into the message, he prayed for specific things. And I want you to see who he prayed for, but I want you to write down, think about it, if you don't have a pencil and paper, who you pray for. Of course, with me, right off the bat, I always like to pray that the Lord forgive me of my sins, because all that scripture is in the back of my mind. If you harbor sin in your heart, the Lord won't hear your prayers. But as I studied that, that's really talking about a sinful nature, if you won't confess your sins. Because, you know, we're all sinners, just saved by the grace of God. So when I pray, I still ask God to forgive me of my sins, but I go right to Tina, Cora, and Megan, and I pray for them. And I force myself, I don't force to pray for them, but you know, my mind, it just wanders. And I know all of you, when you spend time in prayer, a lot of us go pray at a late hour, and we either get sleepy before we go to bed, or, you know, we really need to focus on when we pray. But as we get into this message, I want you to think about, I don't have an iPod like Kenny. I'm too old for all that. But as we get into the message, I want you all to think about who you're praying for. And I want you to think about that Jesus said while he was here on earth in Matthew, he said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." I don't know if you've ever read that, but Jesus was quoting Isaiah 57:6, where God said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." Isaiah said it, but it was God's word for all nations. So, you know, when we come together, part of us coming together ought to be praying, but really the house of God is my body. Because when I get saved, when we accepted Jesus in our heart, the Holy Spirit came into our heart. And Jesus Christ actually came into our life, so we should spend time covered in prayer. And one thing that we need to be praying for is our church and the ministry of our churches. You know, we're going to send 25 people to New York this summer. And we're actually part of what we're doing is going to be prayer walking. And prayer walking seems like, to some people, sometimes when they do it, it seems like they're not really doing a lot for the Lord. But what they're doing is breaking ground, praying that God opens up people's hearts to hear the gospel. And that's what we need to do in our own neighborhood. We need to pray. We need to walk around our neighborhood. I'm going to spend more time doing it. This has really called me to focus on spending time with God. One thing I want to encourage you to do as we get into the lesson is make your prayer list a little shorter. You know, when somebody asks you to pray, when you're with them, pray right then. Just stop and pray with them right then. And so if we get our list too big, you know, a lot of times I'd write down all the prayer requests, and then I wouldn't have time to pray for all of them. There's specific people that God puts in our lives, each one of you, that He wants us to pray for. But I want you to look at, as we go to the Scripture, who are you praying for? And as we go to the Scripture, it says that in Mark 14, starting with verse 32, and I'm going to read to verse 36. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and He told His disciples, "Sit here while I pray." I want y'all to see in this, this is the last week of Jesus' life. In fact, this was going to be the last hour He ever spent one-on-one with His disciples. I mean, we need to get into that picture right before they got to Gethsemane, which was at the Mount of Olives, which was a place that Jesus went so often that when Judas betrayed Him, He knew right where to go. He took him right to Gethsemane. It was a garden. The name actually means olive press, where they actually pressed the oil out of the olives. And I think that's also a name, you know, that we know that Jesus was pressed almost beyond limits when He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. So I think it all went together. But as they were walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, right before they took off on their journey to the garden, they had the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was instituted. This was all within a real close time period. It was instituted in Jesus. The disciples began to be troubled right then because Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me." And they all asked, "Is it I?" They had no clue that it was Judas. Jesus did. So His last week, His last few days, He spent with a man that He knew was going to betray Him. We had to picture where Jesus was in this last week. So then after they leave there, and Judas leaves, so there's only 11 of them on the journey. And while they were on the journey, Jesus shares another thing with them. While they were walking there, He says, "All of you are going to leave me. All of you are going to deny me. You know, this night, you're all going to deny me." And He said, it's in the Scripture that when they arrest me, you're all going to run off and deny me. And of course, Peter, he's always speaking. He said, "I'll never deny you. I'll die with you." And Jesus said to Peter, right before they went into the garden, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. I'll never deny you." And it says all of them said, "I'll never deny you." So they, with that, they go into the garden. And then they came to the place called Gethsemane. And He said, "Sit here while I pray." And what I want you to see is the last hour that Jesus had to spend with His disciples, He chose to pray. The last thing as a free man before His death, that was the last thing that He chose to do while He was on this earth in His freedom, was to pray. I think that puts prayer at a high priority, don't you? I mean, as I really looked at this week, and he left eight of them there, and He took Peter, James, and John with Him, and He began to be deeply distressed and horrified. Now, our Savior was horrified. If you look in, and I want to tell you why He was horrified. If you have your Bibles, look in Isaiah 53, starting with verse 3. It says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath took our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken and smitten of God. He was afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when Jesus was in that garden, and when he began to pray, and the Bible says he was distressed and horrified. Our Savior was horrified. He wasn't horrified because of what he was about to go through, because of the cross, because of the punishment. He was horrified because of what you read out of Isaiah. Every one of us, and every one of us that's ever lived, every one of us in here, and everyone that ever lived, all the sins that we ever committed, he was fixing to take on his back. He was fixing to get the wrath of God, the outpouring of punishment of God for all of us on him. That's why he was terrified. God was going to turn his back on him. And when we hear him on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what he was so distressed about. The fellowship, when Jesus took all of our sins on his back, the fellowship that existed throughout eternity with him and God as being one was broken. Because he took all of our sins, the sins of the whole world on his back. That's what he was so distressed about in the garden. And here his friends are, and he began to be deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me. Well, we know the story. It says, I'll read a few more verses. Then he went a little farther and fell on the ground and began to pray that if it were possible that this hour might be taken from me. And he said, Father, Abba, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So in all this distress, I'm sure if you have not been through a distressing time, a time where you felt like that the weight of the world was on your shoulders, we see in here that Jesus knows how we feel. In fact, Luke tells us that he was so distressed that he prayed so hard and he was so overwhelmed that his sweat was filled with blood. And so, you know, I mean, he was just completely overwhelmed. And we know in this that no matter what we go through, and when we feel at our lowest, as low can be, that Jesus has been there. And Jesus knows how we feel. And he can have compassion on us. And he can give us peace through all of it. But he asked his disciples to pray with him and stay awake. And when he went back, what were they doing? Tell me what they were doing. Sleeping. They were sleeping. You know, there's a thing I think about on a weekly basis. And I get convicted about it, especially when I read the Bible. That's why we need the revival. It convicts us of the life that we live. This life right now is all the opportunity that we're going to have to serve Jesus by our own choice. When we get up into heaven, we're going to be just like the angels. We are going to worship and praise and serve him. And we will have nothing else to do. And we won't want to do nothing else. That'll be our life's goal, our life's song. We'll be so excited and we'll be serving Jesus. But the one thing it says, the Bible says, that he's going to wipe away all the tears. And I know already that some of my tears when I get up into heaven will be for the opportunities that I missed while I was here in this life when I was sleeping. The Bible tells us that in the about a woman named Martha in the Bible, that she was in, let me find the scripture that you can look it up later on. In John 10, 38 through 42, Jesus was sitting down in Martha's house, and she was up fixing something to eat. And she was all busy doing all this work and busy about a lot of things. And Mary, her sister, was at Jesus' feet listening to what Jesus had to say. And just fellowshipping with Jesus. And Martha was mad because Mary wasn't up helping her. And so Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're busy about a lot of things, but Mary has chose the best thing, to spend time with me." We all get busy. We have work to do. We have kids to take care of. We have a lot of things in our lives. But when we start the day, we really have no clue what we're going to face today, do we? And when we get up in the morning, we have no idea what's going to be thrown at us that day, do we? Isn't it important that we start that day spending time with God in His Word, in prayer, talking to Him? And isn't it important that we be used on His behalf this day, today? You know, instead of being so busy about a lot of things, I've always been busy about a lot of things. And Jesus said, Jesus went to pray, to talk to His Father, because He was fixing to go through this awful thing. And then, what did Jesus pray for? Well, in John's Gospel, we find a whole different thing that Jesus prayed for. In John chapter 17, if you have your Bible, is another prayer that Jesus prayed that same night. That same night, it's called the priestly prayer of Jesus. So the first question that we have is, who are you praying for? Who did Jesus pray for that night first? He prayed for Himself. He prayed for Himself. Right off the bat, Jesus prayed for Himself. And He prayed, "God, all things are possible for You. And if it is possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not by my own request, but Thy will be done." So He prayed for Himself that day. You know, there's a man in the Bible that says he's a man after God's own heart. Can anybody tell me who that man is? King David. If you haven't ever heard of King David, you hadn't read about him, I want to encourage you to read 1 and 2 Samuel and read all about him, because he is one of my favorite men in the Bible. And I am so encouraged by King David, knowing that he messed up so much and God still used him all his life. But I just want to briefly show you, as I go through the Psalms, what David prayed about. In Psalms 3 starts out, "O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him." So who's he praying for? He's praying for himself. If you go right to verse 4, it says, "Answer me when I call you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer." Then in chapter 5, he says, "Give ear to my words, O God. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray." And you go to chapter 6. These are just chapter after chapter. "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. But be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. And, O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony." And I could go on. I mean, in chapter 7, "O Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save me and deliver me from all who pursue me." I'll go through a few more in chapter 10. "Why, O Lord, do you stand so far off from me? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" David, just like Jesus, most of his prayers were for himself. So when I ask you the question, who are you praying for? The first person on your list ought to be yourself. Why? Because God wants to use you. in your everyday, day-to-day, with your kids, with your friends, with your co-workers, with your family, with everybody you come in contact with, God wants to use you. He wants to reach out to them through you. So you need to be praying for yourself that you be the person that God wants you to be, that God's will is done in your life. And one thing that I read a book on prayer that Jerry Burke gave me, and it said not to use as much if it be your will, because it's God's will to use you. It's God's will to do His will in your life. So pray God's will be done in your life today so that you can be used by Him. And then the second question, who's praying for you? Who's praying for you? Well, in John chapter 17, and if you have your Bible, you need to mark this verse. And because in John chapter 17, verse 20, I'll just read it out of the Bible. John chapter 17, verse 20, you're going to find out who was praying for you that night. It says, my prayer, this is Jesus speaking, is not for them alone, but I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that they all may be one. Who's that? He was praying. He prayed for the disciples that day. So Jesus was praying for the disciples. But he also prayed for those that would believe in him through the disciples' message. Well, who is that? Us. That day, that night, before Jesus was arrested, before Jesus was crucified, he already seen each one of us. He was praying for Greg Cain. He was praying for every one of you. That night, Jesus could already see you. And he was praying for you that night. Who's praying for you? Well, I tell you who. One person that's praying for you, that prayed for you 2,000 years ago, that's praying for you right now, in the Word of God, it says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you with God. He ever lives. That's what he does 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He makes intercession to God for us. But you know, there was a time in my life that I wasn't a Christian. And I've thought about that for a long time. Who was praying for me? And I'm not going to elaborate on it, but I lived a pretty rough life as a young man. And I spent many a time in the car on the weekends, and be back at my house the next morning and never know how I got there, and go out and see if my car was in the driveway. I'm talking, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying, I've really been thinking about this week. Weekend after weekend after weekend, I'd drive to Evansville to a concert, I'd go to Owensboro, I lived in Pleasant Ridge, and then that Saturday, I'd wake up, and the first thing I'd do was go out and see if my car was in the driveway, because I don't ever remember driving home. And I was thinking this week, who was praying for me? I knew one person that had to be praying for me. I mean, my mom went to church, and people knew me in church, but I knew that my mom was praying for me. You know, I knew that my mom was praying for me. But as I studied for this message, I knew that the whole time Jesus had a plan for my life. And he had a plan for your life. And so no matter what you've been through, he kept you alive for this moment. And he kept you alive for each day that we go through so that we can minister in his name, so that we can have a relationship with him. And you know, as I think about that with my own life, about him keeping me alive for that reason, I thank him. I thanked him so much this week that he's allowed me to be here until this time. And then this week, you know, really hit me hard that, you know, in a sense I could say to God, because so many of you encouraged Cora last week. I know Mark did and Matt did and Kenny did, and some other people encouraged her about her leading the singing and how at home Cora feels here, and how this is her church, and she's going to be all right, and I can die in peace. I mean, I know I'm not speaking morbid, But, you know, that's so important to me, and I thank God for that, that I know that other people are praying for Cora besides me and Tina. But at this, you know, because dying is something that we're going to do. It doesn't matter how much you try to fight it, and I try to eat healthy, I try to live healthy, you know, my cholesterol has always been higher than 200. In fact, Tina started rising up, and we have a competition. We have to go to where I work and get our blood work, and we have to do all that for insurance sake. We have a competition seeing whose cholesterol is the lowest now. And for the first time, I actually prayed this year that Tina's cholesterol would be good. Before, I was always trying to beat her, and I thought, well, that's not right. You know, I'm going to pray that Tina has good cholesterol this year. And because I'm really competitive. And you know I am if we're trying to beat each other on our cholesterol reading. But I need to get ready to die. We need to be ready to die. Not that we want to die, but we need to be ready. And we can only be that way by our prayer life with Jesus and our reading the Word. And who's praying for you? It's also important to find people that you know pray and have them pray for you. You know, people in your church, people that you know that are faithful prayers. But you know, more important than that, you need to become that person that people can say, will you pray for me? You know, I get so busy at work sometimes I forget who I am. You know, I forget that I'm a child of God, and I need to be the one that they come up and say, Greg, will you pray for me? There's times in my life that I have been when I worked at the pottery, they knew, of course, we started that church, but they knew that I was a prayer. They know I'm a prayer now, but I get so busy. Work has changed. I get so busy. But this week reminded me that I need to be the person that even maybe brings up the conversation, well, I'll pray for you about that. And yeah, they'll look at you a little funny, but when they're by themselves and they have a burden on their heart, they'll come back to you. You know, and they'll, or if you say it in a crowd, and they may say, have a little, few snide remarks, but they'll find you. Because everybody goes through stuff in life, and they will go through stuff till the day they die. And they know that they can't handle it on their own. We can't handle it on our own, so we need to be there for people. We need not to be sleeping and not to be too busy. And it goes on to say, and I said, who's praying for you? And of course, Jesus is. But the last question is, what are you praying for? What are you praying for? And when you look at the priestly prayer, let me just finish this scripture first. In 37, he says, then he came and found them sleeping. The Bible tells us that when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When Jesus comes back, will he find faithful people serving him on the earth? There must be a question there. You know, the Bible says right before the Christ comes back, there's going to be a great falling away. Even Jesus said to his disciples on that way there, said, all of you are going to fall away. That's the exact words. He told Peter, he said, Peter, the devil has a desire to sift you like sand. He has that same desire for all of us. He hates our guts. If you're a child of God, he hates us. He hates that we have a relationship with Jesus. He hates that we worship Jesus. And he wants to sift all of us. But Jesus told Peter, but I prayed for you. That's all you need. You know, Jesus said, I prayed for you. And when you're converted, your duty is to strengthen the other Christians, strengthen the brethren. So they were sleeping. Simon, are you sleeping? So he calls out Peter. Remember, he just said, if I have to die for you, I won't deny you. Well, he couldn't even stay awake and pray with him 1 hour. Have you ever prayed 1 hour? Try praying 1 hour. In that book on prayer, when I read, this woman had prayed 35 years for her husband to be saved. This evangelist came, and she said, pray for my husband. Will you talk to him? I've been praying for him for 35 years for him to be saved, and he hadn't been saved. You know what the evangelist said? Well, first of all, you need to quit praying. He said, what have you been praying? She said, if it be God's will. He said, what? The Bible tells us, and he showed her, said, it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ. So for one thing, God can't hear your prayers because you're praying, if it be his will. It is his will. He said, I want you to go home and pray an hour that God opens your husband's eyes, that you know that it's his will to be saved, so save him. And so she said, I'll try. You know, because why don't you go time yourself when you pray and see how long you pray? She went home and she made herself pray an hour. And she come back to church and she run down the aisle. She told the evangelist, I prayed for an hour. I really believe. I didn't say if his will be done anymore. I know God's going to save my husband because it's his will to save him. And she went to turn around and her husband was walking down the aisle to be saved. So when we know it's God's will to save people, then we need to pray for God to save them, believing that he will, because it is his will to save them. We don't need to be wimpy prayers, if you will. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is, the Bible says. It's his will to save people. It's his will to be there for people. It's his will to love people, encourage people. It's his will. In John 17, I want you to read that when you get home, the whole chapter, John 17. Jesus said, I want the disciples and us all to be in heaven with me so they can see me in all my glory, the glory that I had with you before the world began. That's what Jesus prayed, that they would get an opportunity to see him. He wants us to see him in all his glory. He wants us to be in heaven with him. And he loved us so much. As I close today, the things that Jesus prayed for in John 17, and please go home and read it. Keep them in your name. I kept them in your name while I was here. Now, Lord, keep them in your name. That they might be, their joy might be full. The joy that me and you have, God, I want the disciples to have. That's what he prayed for. He said, keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them in your word. And he said that they may be in us in them and them in us. And he also prayed that they may be one. And then when he prayed for us in 20, he said that they all may be one. One in mind. One in purpose. If we all get together, it says we're two and more gather in my name, there I will be also. So that last Sunday I was here, Kenny said, God can't be with you in the bass boat when your people are worshiping here. And I told Brian Forrest, I said, well, Brian, if me and you go fishing together, I said, then Jesus is going to be there with us. So Jesus will be in the boat with us when we're praying. Of course, I was just joking in a way, but I was just joking to Brian, but where two or more gather in my name, there I will be also. He wants us to be one in prayer, in unison. But in closing, Jesus, it was all about us, why he did everything he did. And I heard at one time a man said God would rather go to hell for us than go to heaven without us. He chose to go. That's what he was praying so hard about. That's why that his sweat turned to blood, because he was going to have to go to hell on our behalf. But the Bible also tells us, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What was that joy? It was what he prayed in his prayer. Us all in heaven with him. Those that accepted him as his Savior. One day all being in heaven with him. He was looking through beyond the cross to the day that we would all be with him in heaven. He was looking through to the day that each one of us individually and whoever, as long as this world is alive, says yes to Jesus Christ. That day when you said, I'll give my heart to Jesus Christ. That day when the Holy Spirit came into your life, He was looking past the cross. He was looking through hell at you so that you might know Him, so that you might have a relationship with Him, so that you might be in heaven with Him. He's been praying for you the whole time. He knew us before the world began. I mean, that's an amazing God. We need to pray for each other, but our prayers need to start with prayers of thanksgiving to God for loving us so much. As the band comes forward, group come forward for our invitation, if you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you found out what He's been doing for you the whole time. He's been praying for you. You're still alive because it's God's will that you still be alive. And if you have never received Him as your Savior, today's the day to get saved. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. If you feel God calling you to repent and turn your life over to Him, today you need to do it. If you're like me and you've neglected time with God, you've neglected time in His Word, today you need to repent of that. Today you need to make a greater commitment to pray, to talk to God, to pray for yourself to be the person that God always intended for you to be, and then pray for the lost people in your life that He's put in your past. Be a prayer warrior. I want to be a prayer warrior. You know, I can pray till the day I die. If I can't get up out of a wheelchair, if I can't move, as long as I've got a mind, I can pray. I can be a prayer warrior as long as I've got a mind to pray. So that's something I can do as long as I've got a physical mind to know who I am. So that ought to be the most important thing we do. God, if all you had to do was pray and talk to God, would that be enough in your life? That's what we need to pray about today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings. We thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for what You've given to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.